Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And we've got Justin and Jeanette, myself, and Jeanette,
talking about what we've been watching.
So
should someone else introduce you guys?
Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch television from 20 years ago and before.
What if we all do it together? All right, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the classic.
Look, I started with a high. I was off. I went high and welcome.
I keep forgetting about the classic and just go with cult TV club. So there you go.
Welcome. Yay. Cult TV. Yay. Justin and Jeanette.
Boo.
Talking about classic cult TV.
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
Now impersonate me.
I was trying to do that with Mackenzie earlier. So when I spoke up while you were introducing yours, I was pretending to be Mackenzie going, you talked so long.
Oh. No, you don't remember. You actually said that. When we were recording.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's it.
I feel like you have regrets because that was chaotic.
So me and Jeanette will go together. What have we been watching, Jeanette?
Together? Well, many things have already been discussed, like Mandalorian, the most recent series, Ahsoka, of course.
Ahsoka's brilliant.
We watched Andor this year too, which was fantastic. But I think something no one has mentioned that probably only just now I've watched is the Babylon 5 movie.
Yes.
The Long Way Home.
It's an animated.
I really loved. There were tears. There were definite tears.
It's very fanservice-y.
Very fanservice-y.
It gives you all the characters and things that they've been doing. But it comes across as if they are those characters. It works so well. And, of course, the main cast are the people who survived up to the present day.
Yes, all actors in it.
It's really good.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about it, because I did watch it as well, being a general sci-fi nerd, was that they addressed some of the... Babylon 5 has a couple of elements where they... or a couple of moments where they play around with time, whether it's a prediction of the future sort of thing or something like that. But they have a few predictions of the future that they lose actors along the way, and so they go, oh, we've got to change that. But this movie, basically, they showed a couple of basically alternate timelines where those events actually happened. And so the predictions kind of, it all kind of tied back to the earlier mistakes and kind of actually tied them back into everything. And it was really well
done. Very clever.
There are a couple of...
And it paves the way, clearly, for a new series where there's slightly alternate versions of the new characters.
So that they can do a new series that's not a sequel or a spin-off. But whether that happens or not is still up in the air.
Especially because
Warner Brothers, I think, spent a few bridges with their behaviour in the past 12 months as well.
So we don't know whether that'll happen, but hopefully. This is a film I actually want to mention is Brian and Charles, because it's so...
Brian and Charles.
just unusual. It's a very low-budget English comedy movie. It came out of a podcast. The premise of the podcast, it was some crazy inventor... And the computer that he invented.
The robot he invented talked to each other.
They made a movie. They added a whole lot of different narrative elements, obviously required for a movie. It's just so funny and endearing. And, you know, if you're feeling a bit depressed, Brian and Charles is the movie to make you feel.
Charles is a robot with a washing machine as a tummy.
Machine
and is very upper class and wears a monocle.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to Google
it
this.
Absolutely hilarious. I loved it, absolutely loved it. Made Justin watch it, Justin enjoyed it too. I think one of the other series, it's a few years old now, but Years and Years, you talked about It's a Sin.
You've talked about that a few times, haven't you?
And it is like Turn Left turned into a TV series about Doctor Who. A lot of the themes, I think, from Turn
Russell
Left.
Do you think it is the Turn Left because we have a different universe now? But
I think there's a couple different
schools. So we also...
Sorry, I found a picture of Brian
Charles.
My God, that is awesome.
Is that the individual that runs the podcast, or is it they've got a separate...
No, they're both from... I think they're actors that play Brian and Charles are from the podcast.
In the podcast,
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Charles Petrescu. My name is Charles Petrescu.
It's so good.
It's bizarre.
Because he was in Derek, that actor.
Ooh, okay. He's not very well known, but he has a lot of things.
He was bloody iconic in Derek, that's for certain.
Yeah, so I've also watched Rings of Power, which I thought was actually pretty okay. We have members of the family that didn't think so.
I haven't even watched it.
It comes across quite well as, I guess, the early story of Lord of the Rings, straight out of Silmarillion. Yeah, the main complaint that one family member had was that the main actor, she comes across as being a spoiled brat, but no, she really has to try and get her own way and force the situation, otherwise the whole world falls.
So, that's young Galadriel.
That's young Galadriel.
So my sister has watched it, and her feedback was that she didn't like Galadriel because she felt like a forced boss lady. Like she is a boss lady. Yeah. It's just like, in order for her to be a boss, she has to like walk into a room, slam a sword on a table and go, this is how it's going, as opposed to just
having that natural,
having that natural gravitas.
Yes. And so I am paraphrasing heavily.
It's very difficult for an actor to try and achieve that. And I think in the movie, of course,
the movie
exudes that.
Because she's just like better than everyone else.
I feel like that's something that, you know, an actor can just, if nothing else, be taught how to do.
Is she a lot older by the time it gets to Lord of the Rings movies, though? Like, it's the character's a lot older, you know, and that's the type of thing that comes with age.
She's a warlord. She's basically a captain, you know, a military captain. So she's
not the great witch of Lothlorien.
But apparently she felt more like she was chucking a tantrum every episode as opposed to that is very different.
She had to lose her temper to get to get her way,
and so I feel like that happened. I don't know personally, like I said, I'm paraphrasing from my sister, but I feel like that would take away quite a lot.
We've also started to watch Dragons.
The House of the Dragon. House of the Dragon,
And I've only watched enough to just say, yes, Matt Smith's really damn good in it.
Other than that, we don't know yet. We've only watched one episode.
And, of course, Doctor Who, which was absolutely fantastic. So exciting.
We just watched the Christmas special, finally.
Last night. Last night.
We're trying not to spoilerize it, but it's...
It is,
but we can talk about how fantastic the new Doctor is, right? Like,
he's so good.
We can, but I haven't seen it yet.
You'll love him. Yeah. You'll think he's so good too.
Yeah. No, I mean, he just brings an energy that has been missing from Doctor Who, I think, since.
Yeah.
He's a much more human Doctor as well.
Yes, much more human, yes.
So he kind of feels like the older Doctors in that regard, because the newer Doctors
I've got a tear. Oh, that's a surprise.
What's this strange thing?
He actually expresses emotion. He allowed himself to cry. He allows himself to have those moments.
He's very emotional.
And the episode is very much the Doctor still has trauma to deal with, but he's getting on. That's nice. As opposed to...
Because what I've heard is him describing how his parents overwhelmed him, and how he came over following the massive genocide that happened in the
90s. Oh my goodness,
okay. Thinking, like, he's putting that much into the character because that's basically kind of what the Doctor experienced.
Yeah,
I can imagine. My goodness.
Now I finally finished watching seasons 5 and 6 of Expanse, which is very hard sci-fi, so it's not everybody's cup of tea. One of the features of the whole series is that the universe is being continually expanded. It starts out very local, very much like Babylon 5, actually. In fact, it's almost, it seems like it's going to be a direct copy when you start watching Expanse, and then it rapidly changes to this sort of large-scale political thing going on. And it ends up with alien influence and all this kind of thing. But then in 5 and 6, it sort of shrank back down a bit. It basically shrunk back down to a bad guy of the month kind of, you know, they introduce a bad guy and have to fight the bad guy and then finally win. But and they had this little side story where they're trying to expand the universe a little bit, and all of this is based on the books, so it's kind of, they had their hands tied a bit, but... As a TV viewing thing, I'm very much for the expanding world thing. I'm very much someone who watches things just to see how they create the world. Yeah. And
that's probably one of the biggest weaknesses of Doctor Who.
They keep on throwing it out every episode.
What they've done previously goes out the window.
There's no world building.
Which I think is a great shame in Doctor Who. I think that's one of it.
Too many cooks.
And writers trying to rewrite the thing to make it.
And then a whole series runner just tossing everything in the bin.
But then can we, like, get ready to drink? This is where
world building
Star Wars
drink again
does really well, because even though they have had a whole heap of cooks in the past,
you've got one
master chef, Dave Filoni, King of Kings, looking at all the old stuff and going, I like that.
Except for the movies.
He doesn't do the movies.
He doesn't do the movies.
No, but he should be the only person involved in the whole thing. He should be in charge.
He should just Kathleen Kennedy should get the boot and they should put Dave Filoni in charge.
And it's Doctor Who's really made me realise how important a showrunner is.
Yes.
We can see, you can have a writer that is really great, you can have actors that are really great, you can have a different director every episode, but if you don't have a good showrunner keeping it on track and making it go the way it needs to go, and the showrunner, the difference between, you know, Steve Moffat wrote some of the best Doctor Who episodes in the last, you know, 15 years, but as a showrunner was nothing like Russell T Davies. You can tell the difference because his was all like, it just, it gets to the end and when you're about to have that payoff, it just goes boof.
He had no idea how to finish things.
But it's just crazy that you can just tell the difference. And, like, immediately, the tonal shift between Russell T Davies and Matt Smith and Stephen Moffat, you can just, it's palpable. You can feel it. It's just...
I just hope that RTD manages to persuade his mate Stephen Moffat to come write some episodes for him.
That's it.
And not be shown on a piece.
Well, there was something recent where they said he was looking to pick something up and reboot it, and they went, all these people are like, oh my God, here we go.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde again.
There was something else that kind of came up, and they went, he's talking about it'd be a really good thing to reboot. And
is this Russell T Davies?
No, Stephen Moffat. I'm really keen for the Doctor Who series, though, because although they seem to be making nods to the past now, though. And it has become relevant in conversation where it has come up. And so I'm wondering if going forward they will maybe visit the past a little bit more.
I think so.
Like, it's so expansive. There's so much stuff there. It would be amazing to see more mention of it.
Okay.
Yes. We wrap up, I think.
Okay. We've probably been in here more than the usual episodes.
No. Not at all.
How much hours have we been here?
How many hours?
51 minutes and 43 seconds so far.
An hour and 51 minutes. Yeah.
That's 2 minutes.
Was that an hour and 51 minutes?
Okay, so we've covered everybody's viewing. And we've heard some interesting stuff. There are shows that people are going to watch, and based on each other's preferences. And
Now I've got a few more shows on my list.
Yeah, a few more shows on everybody's list. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So the Cult TV has done its job.
Yes.
The club has done its job. Okay, so that's the Cult TV Club.
Yeah, we've been doing research for 20 years' time.
Thank you, Justin and Jeanette, for talking about your incredible experiences. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it.
I learned something today.
Was it that me and Baylor are assholes?
I didn't want to say it out loud.
Or is it the fact that Jeanette has already recorded these a couple of days later and is using technology to...
She will cut this out.
But you learned something today.
She's not happy.
She won't cook me dinner tonight.
No, I'm not going to.
Bye.
That should be fantastic.
Well, you wanted
to make so many episodes. That's insane. Yeah. I'm like, oh man.
And we'll see you next episode.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.